next few minutes to do something incredible. Sow something in the heart of one of your people here today that will change who they are in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, open it up to James chapter 3. And it's going to be kind of a context verse this morning. And I'm not going to be long. I don't want you to worry. We've had a lot of incredible things happen. I don't want to talk to you again today in this series that I started last week, Small Things, Big Difference. And last week I talked about some of the disciplines in our lives that we need to change. We need to work on them. And I talked about that and encouraged you. I talked about even the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. He talked about doing the things that he didn't want to do and not being able to do what he wanted to do. And where that stems from, he said, a wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? And he said, thanks be unto the Lord Jesus, who has the power to transform our lives. Nothing else has the power to transform me. I was having a great conversation with Chris Busniak the other day about the gospel, the power of the gospel. I'm all for programs. I'm all for education. I believe in it. But when it gets down to it, nothing transforms a person's life like the gospel can, the word of God. And there's just something about it. When it's spoken, it has life in it. So the words that I speak now today, I pray that God, as they leave my mouth, the power of his Holy Spirit enters them with this level of bombast. And when they come to your heart and to your life, the preached word explodes in your spirit and does something really powerful inside of you. And so I want to encourage you from last week to consider some of the disciplines that you just do every day as a habit. That if you're not looking at those and you're not examining those and you're not allowing God's power and his Holy Spirit to come up to those and have influence in those, you just kind of do the same thing that you've always done and you end up getting the same thing that you always got. And today I want to talk about the words that we speak out of our mouth. And, you know, some of us, we have great intentions, but intentions won't get you where direction will get you. When I started learning to fly a plane, I learned that there, in every plane, there's a compass. But if we were leaving here today and going to Watertown, and I set that compass and I'm going to fly a little bit northeast, and I have a wind that's coming out of the east at 20 or 25 miles an hour, and I keep that compass at that true directional, I'm not going to get there because that wind is going to blow me off. So I may have the intention, but I'm not going in the right direction. And sometimes you and I have to adjust how we are getting to a place because of the winds of culture that are continually pressing us and pushing us off the course that we are called to go. And some of you have come today and you've come and maybe you're just here because somebody made you go, or it's Sunday and you think you got to go to church. I've come to hear from God today. I came to the house of the Lord, the house of God. I want to hear a word from the Holy Spirit today. I've already heard it. I want to hear more. And you and I need to have that in our heart and let the direction of God really impact our heart and our lives. And if you need to move course, you need to adjust. Listen, adjust, because there's something that the Lord wants to do in your heart today. And it's not only always the big things that we want to do. I want to do this big. It's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everybody wants in their lives. And our words influence our actions, and our actions become our habits, and our habits create our destiny. And it's the small things that we do that impact us in a big way. Hear me now. Proverbs 18:21 says about our words, the tongue has the power of life and of death. What comes out of your mouth holds the key to life and it holds the key to death. I walked up to Ben. I was watching him play drums. I was watching his feet. I'm looking over. He's got an energy drink. He's got a pile of broken drumsticks. I should have got a picture of it. It was a perfect picture of a drummer, but not the perfect picture of what he was about 6-7 weeks ago after when he was in the hospital. And he was worried, and the enemy was coming and trying to tell him that he wasn't going to walk right again. He lost some muscle in his arm and his leg. He would come into the church limping. If he would have listened to what the enemy would have told him then, he would have never been doing what he is doing now. And it's the same with some of you. If you keep on listening to what the enemy says you are or you can't be, the power of words has the power of life and death in your life. And you need to begin to listen to what he says. And the Bible says that our tongue carries this life. So I walked up to him today and I went over and whispered. I said, the devil might have told you you were over, but God says you're stronger than you ever been. And I kissed him right on the neck, right while he's playing up there. But if you want to change your life, you got to change the words that you speak. Because the words that we speak make a difference in the life that we live. Now listen to me. Don't get caught up. I know some of you are thinking, oh, he's going to talk about this confession thing. We've heard years ago, confess that you got a Rolls Royce in your garage and you'll have one. I'm not talking about that. And I don't care if you get a Rolls Royce either. In fact, if you get one, I hope you'll let me drive it. I'm okay with that, but that's not what I'm talking about. Because when you are sick and something's happening, your wife or your husband says, I'm done. None of that matters anymore. I'm talking about some right-on-the-road stuff here today. The words that we speak can bring a difference in the life that we live in. This is what James was telling us in James chapter 3. He says in verse 3, when we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by small winds, they are steered by a small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Your tongue can steer something big. Your tongue can change the climate in your home. Your tongue, the words that come out of your mouth, have the propensity to change how you live in your family and in your household. And he says that bit can make a large horse move wherever it wants to go. I haven't ridden many horses, but a few that I have ridden, I've hated every minute of it. Nasty things go where they want, bite you, kick, and then they poop and you got to clean it up afterwards. Amen. And he says a ship. When we were in France, one day when we had some time to go sightseeing, there's this, like, it wasn't a big cruise ship. I don't know. The ship was, it might have been the length of this sanctuary and maybe from me to the wall over there wide. And I went up on the top deck and, it was just beautiful out. It's the Mediterranean. We were going over to this island where there used to be a prison there. And just a short little jaunt. And I went up there and I said to Chris and said to Chuck and Helen Todd, I said, I bet you a macaroon that I can get up into the bridge there. And they looked at me and they said, yeah, you're on. You're never going to get up in there. Well, praise the Lord. Man of God that I am, full of faith and power and the Holy Spirit. Walked over there, said, hey. The guy said, hey. I said, do you ever let anybody up there? He said, come on. I walked up there, and while I'm walking up there, I'm looking back at those guys and I'm waving at them. Yeah. And I'm up there and I'm talking to the guy, having a good time. We get over to the island. He says, when you come back, you come see me. You ride with me again. I said, awesome. Thank you. I went down there. I said, well, what do you think? Yeah, you're right. I said, well, that was great. But now I'll bet you something big that I can get back in there. Well, it gets better. I go back and I get up there and I walk up there. Of course, they're looking. And then the guy says to me, would you like to drive the boat? I said, absolutely. And I get up in the seat, and no kidding you, half of them were down on the bottom deck. And they said that the boat was moving around funny, and Chuck Todd says, I'll bet you Marty's up there driving the boat. And sure enough, they went up there, and here I was, and that steering wheel on this thing, and I got all these people on there, and wherever I turned that baby, that's where that ship went. I had control from that, whatever I turned, that's where all those people went. And it made me think about that right there. When I read this verse, I was reminded of that again. How your tongue has the same ability to move a whole lot of people in a certain direction. You can speak life. You can speak hope. You can declare destiny over them. Or you can speak death. You can speak negativity. You can speak down to the moms and dads. You have the ability in your home and in your family to raise champions. Or you have the ability to quench the desires and the destiny of the children that God has given to your life to steward. And it's the same thing no matter where we go. We have the ability to speak life-giving words or life-taking words. In marriage, marriages that are struggling, it doesn't matter who it is or what the issue is, it started with a word. It started with a negative word. It started with a life-taking word. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs 15:4 says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but the perverse tongue, it crushes the spirit of humanity." Soothing tongue, it's like a tree of life. It brings, but a negative tongue, a perverse tongue, it crushes the spirit. I don't know if many of you have ever had your spirit crushed by words, but I have, and I guarantee that almost everybody in here has had that happen. Even meaningless, unintentional words that somebody may say to you that will tear you down, that will hurt you. God has not called you and I to allow those words to come out of our mouth, but He's called you and I to be a vessel and a fountain of life-giving words. And sometimes people say things that they don't even know what they're talking about, and they bring hurt, and they bring pain, and they bring destruction to people. And I don't know why I thought of this. I guess I was thinking about it because there's so many pregnant ladies around the church now. But I remember when Patty was pregnant with Garrett, and there's this guy that we knew, and he was a nice guy, but he was just a dope the way he talked to my wife. She'd walk in a room and he'd back all the way up against the wall. So look out, here she comes. And my wife would walk in with a smile, and underneath that smile, she had fire. She wanted to throw blades and darts at him and every other thing. And I'm listening to him and I'm like, dude, what is going on here? And it went on, and he never saw the tears that she would cry to me about that later. Meaningless words, words that he thought he was just jesting and having fun with, but it hurt down to the heart. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? They were life-taking words, and they pierce like a sword, and they crush the spirit of somebody. You might even not even know that you're doing that. Somebody might do something, drive in front of you, and I don't know about you, but I don't really know why. I think somebody puts a sticker on my car. I'll drive around and people will wave their arm at me and say, "What are you doing, you stupid?" And I'm just there, "Hey, praise the Lord. I love you. God's good." And get all upset and all uptight over that. Come on today. And on the other hand, some of you you've grown in your life because somebody has spoken life-giving words to you. If it wasn't for some people that spoke life-giving words into my spirit, I lived in a time, one moment in my life where people were just taking from me and speaking evil and negative words. You would never amount to nothing. You never go nowhere. You're always going to be this, you're going to be that. Until one day I had to drive 3,300 miles to hear on a Saturday morning, sitting in a car on a rainy Saturday morning, somebody look at me and say, "You'd be able to do that. You'd be a great pastor. You can do that. You can be everything that God wants." It was like life into me, and it helped me. And when people say, "I'm proud of you, and you're a great person, and you can do this, and you can do that," it helps you. And God calls you and I to be those vessels that give life and not take it away. Amen. And how about the words that you speak over your own life? You speak words over your own life that either give life or they limit your life. Life-taking words like, "Man, I'm going to mess this up. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do this. I'm never going to be that. I'm not educated. I'm not tall enough. I'm too short. I'm this. I'm that. I'm too old. I'm too young." And continually talk yourself and take positive, powerful, God-breathed words out of your life. Instead, you're not supposed to be haughty or arrogant, but you can stand up. And sometimes you got to look in the mirror and you got to just say, "God is inside of you. There's a great plan in your life." Come on, Zip, man, am I the only one that's ever done that? I look right in the mirror and I say, "God's got his hand on you, brother." I'm like, "Yeah? Who am I? Oh, it's me. God's going to use you in a powerful way. He's going to take you places you never thought you were going to go. He's going to use you all over. Before I ever went anywhere, I was speaking those words over my life. And sometimes you just got to begin to speak words over your life because they have the power of life and death in your life. Two things I want you to consider, and I'm going to close with this. In Ephesians 4, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those that listen. Hear me today. Look at the words. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Are they life-building or are they life-destroying? Do they help others or do they take away from others? The King James Version says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of the edifying, that it will minister grace to hearers. When Ryan told people that come up, I was already at the altar. And I love, my brother Lenny came over and he laid his hand on my head. He didn't even know what I was going to talk about. And he just begins to pray and speak into my ear things about my future. He just begins to declare. And he was ministering grace to me. And that's what you and I are called to do into our children, into our spouse, into our church family. I challenge you before you leave today, just go up to somebody and tell them, man, God's got a plan for you. He's going to bless you. He's going to prosper you. He's going to do something great with you. Make that a habit in your life. Encourage someone. Tell someone, I don't care how down they are. Hey, you're going to make it. You're going to get beyond this. You can do this. And then number two, if you think something good, say it. Don't just think it, say it. Man, I see something happening in your life. I see God blessing you. You know, I'm looking at what's going on in here this morning, and I'm seeing all this interaction. I'm looking at these young people up here. Man, God's hand is on their life, from the youngest to the oldest. Amen? Come on today. They've got a beautiful destiny. And listen, when they talk about going on these trips, they're going to Basic, and they're going to, what's the other one, Aaron? Encounter Conference. I want to help them because we're releasing them into the God-given destiny that God has called them to go. If you think of it, say it. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones of everybody. Sweet, beautiful. And he's referring to words that are spoken, not just thought about. Practice it. Make it a part. And if you can't think about something good, you need to start encouraging yourself in the Lord. David had to do that. He was afraid. He was getting ready to be stoned. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, that David, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He spoke good words. You got to learn to speak to yourself. You got to preach to yourself. You got to have a conversation with you sometime before you can have it with anybody else. Yesterday, I was one proud grandpa. I'm just so proud of all of the young people and some of the adults. I mean, Todd Crossett being a part of a 200-mile run. Come on, somebody. That's just incredible. And Alex and so many others that are doing so many other good things. But my grandson, Gabe, he plays in football. And I went to that game yesterday, and he was running that ball. And I'm just down there, and I'm hollering a little bit. But then, you know, the Lord just told me, you ain't got to holler that loud. In fact, if you just talk to me, I'll take care of it. But the craziest thing is that the kid's dad on the opposite team, who was one of the champions on that team, he knows me. He came down next to me, and he's hollering. And I'm over there, God, I thank you for Gabe, that you're protecting him, and you're going to use him. You're going to teach his hands for war right now in this game. You're going to give him favor, and he's listening to me. He goes, come on, will you stop that? You're causing him to win. And every time that I would do that, we were sitting up in the bleachers, and I told my little grandson, Andrew, I saw Gabe down there. I said, watch it. Gabe's going to get the ball. He's going to run it in for a touchdown. And Andrew looks at me and goes, how do you know that? I said, watch what he does. And the next thing, there goes Gabe running it right in for a touchdown. And Andrew turns around and he goes, speak the words over your family, over your situation, over your life, and watch God get behind you and bring them to pass. Ezekiel 37, the Bible says that God took Ezekiel by the Spirit. And it says he brought him out into a valley that was full of bones. And the Bible says, the King James says they were very dry bones. And he led me back and forth and he saw them. And he asked me, he said, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. I don't know, but you know. And this is what God says. And this is what he's saying to some of you. He said to me, you prophesy. You speak to these dry bones. And you say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I'll make breath to enter you and come to life. I'll attach tendons to you. I'll make flesh come on you, on your skin. I'll put breath in you. You'll come to life. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. And so the Bible says that he did what he was told to do. And the moment that he did it, life began to come into those dry bones. And I want to tell somebody today, right in here, you're living in a dry situation in your home. It doesn't look good. You might think it's all over, but God is telling you today that you'll stand up and you'll look at those dry bones and you will begin to speak over them and say, life come into that, health come into that, breath come into that, hope come back into that. God will do the things that come out of your mouth. Instead of you living in darkness, he'll bring you into his marvelous light. Come on, if you believe that, you ought to give the Lord a better praise than that. Your words matter because they carry power in them. He has anointed you to preach and declare unto your home and those around you. I'm not going to let the enemy suck away the people that I love. I'm going to come up to them. I'm going to lay my hands on my kids and my grandkids, on your kids and your grandkids. I don't care where they are. I don't care what they're doing. I'm going to proclaim over their life goodness, glory, blessing, destiny, and the purposes of God. Let it come past in their lives. Come on, give God a praise today. That's it. Father, we thank you today that you've given us the power to speak life. You've given us the power to speak hope. You've given us the power to speak unto dead things and see them come to life in Jesus' mighty name. God, I declare unto every family today, unto every situation that looks dark and dismal. If that's you today, if you're living in a dark place, I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Come on. I'm going to speak unto you right now. You're getting ready to carry that ball into the end zone. You're going to make a touchdown. Not going to let the enemy come and just steal from you. Come on, if I'm talking to you, if the Spirit of God is speaking to your life right now, get up out of your seat right now. Stand up. Lift up your hand. Watch him. He's going to do something great. Come on, church. I need to hear about 25 people begin to pray right now. Come on. In fact, I want some prayer warriors. I want you to come down. I want you to stand right in front of me right here. I want praying people. Not people who want to be seen. Praying people. I want you to come stand right here right now. Quick. Quick. Begin to pray for those that got their hands raised. Get your hand up. Finances. Something in your home, your family, something that is broken in your health, in a situation that is around you. You feel dead and lost. God says, come on, I want you prayer people to lift up your voice right now. Begin to declare life unto them. Receive it today. Receive it today. Watch God. He's getting ready to do something in your heart. Keep your hand up to him. Father, I thank you. We declare in the name of Jesus. Hope, purpose, life, destiny, healing, resurrection from the dead in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Come on, and everybody said a great amen in God's house. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Take your seat just for a moment. I'm going to dismiss everybody in just a moment. The Lord is good. I believe he's done something great here. Before we leave today, I'm going to ask the prayer people to come back in just a moment. But I want to receive this offering for Basic. Right in the midst of what the Spirit of God is doing right now. Jonathan and Nikki, come on up here. Come right up here. Stand up here right now. I feel God right now. Come right up here. Hallelujah. Come on, turn around. Turn around. Church, I want you to stretch out your hand to him today. I'm praying power over your lives. I pray breakthrough over your lives today. I pray that God will open up to you in areas and in places that you have been asking him for that have been hard and the door has been shut. I declare today those doors are going to be open. I pray, God, that you'll take the people that have their foot up against the door. Take them out of the way. And bring those people in that will open up for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I even pray that you'll take Jonathan to places and schools that the world says has great and incredible influence in this land. Do you have a chapter in Harvard or Yale? MIT? Georgetown? Father, right now, come on, I need some prayer people. Right now, we pray for these seats of influence in our country, God, that you would open those places up and that they would even reach out to Jonathan and Basic and say, we want a chapter there. We want the gospel to come there. I pray, God, that you'll give him the people in Basic the ability to go right down into the belly of the beast in Washington, D.C., in the Northeast, and have influence in that those seats of learning that shape our destiny and the culture of our land. Today, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to bring that to pass. And I give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody, I want you to come down here. Guys with the offering buckets, I want two of you to come down, and I want you to bring two more buckets. I'm going to have everybody bring their offering right up here this morning. Because I just want you, on your way by, you throw something in the bucket here. Give Jonathan and Nikki a bucket, and then I want one on each side. I want you to make, you can give through PushPay. There's a place there for missions. We're going to give it all to them. I'm believing God today for at least $1,500 to sow into this work today. Who'll agree with me on that? I'm not telling you to do it all, but I just believe in God. Let us be a part of that. Father, I pray today in Jesus' name that you will use these in an incredible and in a powerful way. Jonathan, I pray, I sense a deeper level of an anointing coming on your life. You're not to set yourself behind others. But God says, I have put in you a voice that will declare unto many, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you speak, they're not going to be intimidated by your size, but the size of your God that is in you. He's going to use you in a way that you had never thought of. He's going to take you before people and places of authority. God's going to use you in the midst of that and at the moment that is needed for his glory and his honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, everybody said amen. I want you to come down here. And then before we close, if you have prayer, I'm going to have the prayer people come and be down here. But I want you to bring an offering down. I want you to sow something into them and just touch them on the way by and bless them, okay? Would you do that? Come. Garrett, I want you to come up here. Where are you, Garrett? I'm going to get you to sing that song. Yeah, whoever's going to help you sing that song, come on up here, okay? It's been a great day in God's house, hasn't it? Just while you're giving, Garrett's going to sing this song. I pulled a fast one here on him. I've never done this like this before, Jonathan and Nikki, either. This is kind of fun. I like it. You can keep on giving right while he's singing. Just come on.
There are days I've given more than I can pay. And there are choices that I've made that I wouldn't make again. I've had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. And this has been the story of my life. I have won, and I have lost. I've got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you've been my God through all of it. You were there when it all came down on me. When I was blinded by my fear and I struggled to believe. But in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone. I have won, and I have lost. I've got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. All of it. And this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years of my life, I look back and I see you. Right now I still do, and I'm always going to. I have won, and I have lost. I've got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Oh, and you've been my God through all of it.
Praise God. Thank you. Prayer people, come on down. If you need prayer before you leave, they're going to pray over you and help you. We love you. God bless you. It's been a great day in God's house. Thanks for staying just a little late today. It's been worth it to be with Him today. If you need prayer, you come on down. If you've never given your heart to Christ, come on down. These people will pray for you to receive Him today. I love you.